Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where commercially one of the great, sure, guaranteed movie hits of 2021 opens today. And it's already headed toward the top box office position for the entire year. It's the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die. Should you make time for it, you'll pardon the expression. We will get to that in the new Jason Sudeikis film that is called South of Heaven, and the new Muppets Halloween special. Yeah, that's right. Muppets Haunted House. Worth paying a visit. We will get to all of that on the Michael Medved Show. Meanwhile, we are going to try to confront a new pandemic in the United States. We've already been dealing for well over a year, going on 2 years, with the pandemic of COVID-19, the coronavirus. But now there's a different kind of pandemic. It's a pandemic of thefts from bathrooms and vandalization of bathrooms. The Daily Mail reports students are now being warned not to take part in a new devious licks TikTok trend that encourages kids to rip drinking fountains, water heaters, and urinals off school walls as they head back to class nationwide. After the COVID shutdown, school districts have issued warnings for students to avoid the Devious Licks TikTok challenge, which asks kids to steal or destroy school property. School officials are reporting damage to their bathrooms as kids film themselves stealing mirrors, soap dispensers, apparently soap dispenser particular target, urinals, and even sinks. The videos have more than 235 million views collectively on TikTok. That 235 million views is appalling. One school in California has even set up an anonymous tip line for students and parents to report those taking part in the viral trend. And then there is this audio about this trend from a TV station in Kentucky, KXIX. Listen.
Sinks being ripped off walls and toilets are being clogged to the point of overflow.
Yeah, there's some of the stories local school districts are telling us about the result of a TikTok trend called Devious Licks.
Did you ask your kids about this last night?
Yeah, they heard about it, and they saw a couple of goofy things going on at school, and I asked them if they did, and of course they did.
Yeah, they were like, right. We didn't do it.
What?
I asked my kids, they said they knew nothing about it. Yeah. Joanna Boris knows something about it. She's been following this viral trend going on around Kentucky and school districts here in the tri-state.
Chris, Trisha, I talked to the vice principal here at the Campbell County Middle School who tells me a couple of weeks ago he started noticing that the bathrooms were getting destroyed and school property was being stolen. So he reached out to other school districts in the area who reported the same thing. They all learned that this is all because of a viral TikTok trend that they're now trying to stop.
Okay, this has become a national epidemic of people stealing property, destroying property, clogging up toilets. What exactly is the point? Well, there's this, at least in the opinion of a principal out in Kentucky. Listen.
Adults across Kentucky school districts say they've had to learn a lot about TikTok quickly these last few weeks as schools continue to get turned upside down by students.
Basically challenging kids to go in and steal something. and they would give it like a point value. As far as I understand, now I could be wrong on some of this, but this is what the kids told me, and they tell you.
Stephanie Haggerty is the principal of Camp Ernst Middle School in Boone County and says she started noticing soap dispensers going missing. The district sent out this letter to parents today describing the challenge and saying in part, "This behavior will not be tolerated and will be dealt with accordingly. Destruction of school property will result in school discipline being applied to the fullest extent, including paying restitution for property that has been damaged or destroyed, and possibly being criminally charged by our local police or sheriff's department." Kimball County Middle School Vice Principal Eric Blankenship says they've been looking at their cameras to see which students are going in and out of the bathrooms, and they've reprimanded several.
The things to look for, we have had students that are breaking soap dispensers and taking these out, throwing them in toilets or stealing them in backpacks, taking toilet paper rolls and throwing them in the toilets to stop them up, flush them to flood the bathrooms.
Okay, really? And this is happening in schools across the country? And you get some points on TikTok if you can then film what you're doing and rack up a score or a devious lick? Here's what a psychologist had to say to KXIX-TV. Listen.
Dr. Stuart Bathman is a psychologist who says he thinks students and adolescents are acting out because of a feeling of powerlessness, anxiety, and insecurity.
The child and the adolescent is taking out their frustration, taking out their fear by acting out in certain ways against something that is there to provide structure and stability. Again, the purpose of the school is twofold. One is to educate, but to provide a stable, secure, safe environment. And unfortunately, children and adolescents are not feeling that security and stability.
To control the chaos, Dixie Heights High School in Kenton County says they put ribbons across the extra bathroom doors during class times, making students go downstairs to the main bathroom, which is supervised. All bathrooms are available during the 5-minute period in between classes.
Okay, this is where does this come from? Where does this originate from? And why is it called devious licks? There's some people, of course, are now researching this entire thing. By the way, that psychologist, Bassman, he doesn't sound like a Kentucky accent, does it? No, I don't think it does. Licks refers to thefts or robbery. Other popular searches remained on the site. This is on TikTok today, including devious trend, devious licks, L-I-C-S, not C-K-S, the biggest licks of the school year. Licks refers to thefts or robbery. You might be familiar with a phrase from the 2019 song Mama, I Hit a Lick by 2 Chainz with Kendrick Lamar. Jeremy, do you know that song? That's not in our rotation here, is it? I mean, Mama, I Hit a Lick. However, most of the TikTok videos involving these recent licks include a sped-up version of rapper Lil B's song, Ski, Ski, Based God. Jeremy, you know that one? Okay, this is, it's weird, but it's not funny. I mean, if you talk about how much we spend on school and how much we want schools to come back and be in session and do a better job. One of the things that's fascinating about this is, again, I know we're all supposed to have bathrooms together, boys and girls, men and women, people of every gender and non-binary. There apparently is a very gender-based distribution of this particular trend. People have been asked about this. Is this equally distributed in boys' rooms and girls' rooms or male and female bathrooms? What do you think? I mean, high school girls, do you think they're going to spend time trying to clog up a toilet? This is from NPR. Students are destroying or stealing items at their schools, often in school bathrooms, for what school administrators and police are blaming on a TikTok trend. If you have any personal experience with this trend, you don't have to plead guilty. Or if you're a parent of a teen, and your teen has some experience here, you don't have to rat them out. But just explain to us what is going on. 1-800-955-1776. He's called capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished, and he warns that socialism is trickle-up poverty. He's internationally acclaimed Whole Foods CEO and free market champion, John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yup, in person in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information, WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds. Social media and trading platforms then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
And on the mic. Michael Medved Show. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Mark Oppenheimer, who I had the opportunity to meet a couple of months ago, and who is actually coming out here to Seattle for a program, actually two programs, and a book signing. It's for his book, Squirrel Hill, The Tree of Life Synagogue Shooting, and The Soul of a Neighborhood. The information is on our website at michaelmedved.com. Mark, I want to congratulate you on your remarkable book, which is about an incident that I think many people would rather forget and ignore and say, well, okay, it happened in Pittsburgh. It happened a couple of years ago. There were 11 people who were tragically murdered at the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting one Saturday morning. People would ask, why is it important that we focus on this episode now?
Right. Well, thank you for having me, Michael. Always good to be back. It's important because actually, and surprisingly, this is a hopeful story. Obviously, mass killings, of which there have been hundreds since Columbine in 1999, ushered in the era of the mass killing, they're always sad. This was sadder than most. It was the greatest anti-Semitic slaughter in American history. And yet, what I did was focus on the neighborhood of Squirrel Hill, which is this beautiful, old, very stable, very consistently friendly Jewish neighborhood in Pittsburgh. It's been a kind of home for Jews for 100 years since it became a neighborhood around the time of World War I. And what I found was that in the aftermath of the shooting, there were just so many acts of extraordinary kindness, people coming together, supporting each other, not just Jews, but also Gentile allies and people of all races and creeds. And looking at the survivors and how they supported each other ended up being a very, very hopeful story. I had no particular interest in focusing on the shooter, who I'm sure is the alleged shooter. You know, he'll get what comes to him, and I think that's not an interesting story. But I think the wonderful people who supported each other in the aftermath in the survivor community were really worth paying attention to.
And one of the things, as you said, that's remarkable, and I think people, even at the time, thought it was remarkable. When you say that this taking of the lives of 11 people at prayer, which, of course, is hideous on a Saturday morning, when you say that is the biggest slaughter, anti-Semitic slaughter, in American history, doesn't that say something remarkable about our country, how different we are from other countries in which Jews have lived?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, this country has been a haven for Jews. It's been one of the places, I would say, along with other places in the former English Empire, I would include Canada and Australia, also as very, very special places with extremely high levels of tolerance for Jews, where Jews have been able to go and live peacefully with very, very low levels of violence or against us. And that is extremely special. And that in some ways made it more shocking, because you're talking about a country where, unlike in Europe, where there are heavily armed guards posted at every synagogue door, in the United States, that's not something that most Jewish communities thought that they needed, because they just, the typical experience is of living and coexisting peacefully with non-Jewish neighbors going back a couple centuries. So yes, it does say something remarkable about this country. We have to reckon with what I think is an era of rising anti-Semitism, at the same time that we have to be cognizant of how good this country has been as a place to be a religious minority.
And you speak about that, and you speak about that in your book. The book, again, is called Squirrel Hill. And he's right about Squirrel Hill. It is a wonderful neighborhood. I've been there. I've spoken there. I have friends who have actually moved there, and people don't normally think of Pittsburgh. You don't immediately think of Pittsburgh as a garden spot, but Squirrel Hill can kind of make the case for it. You mentioned the rising tide of anti-Semitism, which all the experts have perceived and spoken about. And the one thing that people do not appear to be sure about, and you write about to some extent in your book, is why. Why would it be in the 21st century, at a time which is really not generally a time of social breakdown, at least we didn't think it was until very recently, why would anti-Semitism be going up now?
You know, nobody knows for sure. I'll offer about three very quick theories. One is that the polarization that results from the internet has been bad for society in all sorts of ways. And one of those ways is that it does become an echo chamber for people with extremist values, including white supremacist, anti-Semitic, racist values, to find each other, to organize together. The alleged shooter in the attack on the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh was someone who seems to have been radicalized by the internet. He was posting anti-Semitic comments, anti-immigrant comments on far-right websites the morning that he, again, allegedly, but it seems quite likely that he was, in fact, the perpetrator. He was caught in the act that he went to commit the shooting. So, number one, I think the internet is so polarizing and makes bad things worse. Another one is that anti-Semitism does seem to be somewhat cyclical. It seems to come in waves and then recede. So there are rising tides in the populist era in the 1890s, again in the 1920s, around World War II. And then you see it again now. So there have been a number of sort of episodes of it, and we don't really know why it comes and goes. But the third thing I would say, and this is a little bit tricky, is that, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, I think that a lot, ironically, even though, you know, Jewish life continues in America and Jews are happy here, there's actually in some ways more contacts that a lot of people had with liberal and conservative Jews in America, by which I mean religious, you know, Reform Jews, conservative Jews, non-Orthodox practicing Jews. So there's been so much assimilation of the more liberal Jewish communities that today I sometimes think a lot more people's impression of Jews is only the Orthodox Jews they see on TV. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with Orthodox Jews, but I think to a lot of non-Jews, their perception of Jews is that all of them are these sort of exotic creatures in black hats. And there might be less contact with people who just have Shabbat dinner with their families but don't live in an Orthodox community. So I think in some ways we might seem more exotic than we did 30 or 40 years ago.
And it's interesting because I'm thinking of Alex Jones, who basically said that the Newtown shootings in Connecticut at Sandy Hook,
yeah,
were faked. And he said he could recognize the Jewish actors who had been hired, and he could recognize them by their side curls.
I mean, right. So you definitely, and you know, I mean, to be quite honest, you know, Donald Trump made a comment before he was president about how he wanted his money to be managed by people wearing the little hats, the yarmulkes. You know, he meant it in context. It looked like somewhat affectionately. He's obviously someone who can have warm relations with observant Jews, given that, you know, his children have married Jews. But nevertheless, that sense that Jews are the people in the funny hats or the people with the side curls, and again, those are, you know, absolutely, those people are part of our community and should be free of prejudice, and they are our cousins and neighbors and friends, and in some cases they are us. But the sense that they are exotic, you know, that they're sort of like the Amish in the sense that they might be fine, but they're definitely very different from us. I think there's a rising sense of that as people get more and more siloed in their own communities and relate less and less to people who are different from them.
You can hang on for a moment there, Mark. We want to ask you about your role as head of the Yale Journalism Initiative. What's wrong with journalism right now? Why is it going down, down, down in public esteem? And what can be done about it? More coming up with Mark Oppenheimer, author of Squirrel Hill.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. September's wage gains provided more fuel for the argument that the current pace of inflation could run longer than many economists anticipate. Average hourly earnings rose 0.6% for the month, making the year-over-average increase 4.6%. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration expects that inflation will be temporary.
We, of course, have seen and from outside experts, including the Federal Reserve, OECD, and others, that their expectation is that these inflation rises will be transitory, that they will come back down next year.
Republicans contend Americans are suffering due to inflation, which is due to the Democrats continuing to spend money on their agenda. The U.S. Postal Service says December 17th is the deadline to get letters, greeting cards, and small first-class packages sent in time for Christmas. USA Radio News.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Show, joined for a few minutes more by Mark Oppenheimer, who's coming out to Seattle on Sunday. And this Sunday he's going to be speaking at 4 p.m. at the Strom Jewish Community Center on Mercer Island. And before that, doing a book signing at Island Books on Mercer Island. And it should be fascinating because the book is fascinating and very moving. And very insightful. Mark Oppenheimer teaches at Yale. He is the director of the Yale Journalism Initiative. And he's also been a working reporter for various magazines, newspapers. And right now, I'm sure you have seen that there are four or five different studies that all show that in this era in which we live, particularly with the pandemic, confidence in the utility and the integrity of the American journalistic system has reached all-time lows. People don't trust media. They don't trust the press. Why not?
You know, there are so many reasons. And again, I go back, first of all, to increased polarization, which is a result in part of the internet. Of course, there was polarization before. Newspapers used to belong to political parties, or, you know, go back 100 years. There's a reason that you have papers called the Tallahassee Democrat and the Springfield Republican. And these papers were party papers. But then we entered a long period of relative objectivity in newspapers, and you know, some believe that we've slipped out of that again. But I want to point to something that people don't talk about a lot, which is we used to trust newspapers in part because we knew newspaper reporters. If you knew somebody on the local newspaper staff, and I'm thinking of growing up in Springfield, Massachusetts, where I knew a couple people who reported for the Springfield newspaper. They lived in my neighborhood. They showed up to cover sporting events. They covered the school committee meetings. They were figures. We knew them. If you knew reporters, you trusted reporters in the same way that if you know a family doctor, and it's a good family doctor, then you have some level of trust in family doctors. What's happened with the disappearance of local media, as so many local papers have shrunk their staffs or closed altogether, is that we know reporters only as the people on MSNBC or Fox or so forth. And so they aren't real figures to us. They're people who might be entertaining. We might keep them on to pass the time during the day. But we figure that they're rich celebrities who live off in some other universe, some other planet. We don't figure that they know who we are and that we can trust them to report news in a way that's useful and fair to us. So I would point to the extraordinary hit that local reporting has taken as the ad market collapsed and local newspapers, magazines, and radio stations had to lay off reporters. Nobody knows a reporter anymore.
So the one thing that I would say to challenge that for a moment would be that back in the 50s and 60s, they used to refer to Walter Cronkite, who was hardly a local reporter. He was a national, international figure. He was known as the most trusted man in America, and people had that sense of intimacy with him. They called him Uncle Walter. I remember my parents, may they rest in peace, referred, oh, let's check in with Uncle Walter. And it's a long way from that, from anchor people today.
I don't disagree, but let me point to two things. One, I think that, and here it's my friend Alana Newhouse, who edits Tablet Magazine, which is an online magazine for which I also work, who has made this point. I want to credit her with it. It was the trust that Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley and people like that got, Edward R. Murrow, stood on the shoulders of the local reporters. If you knew some local reporters and you had a local newspaper and you got it delivered to your doorstep, which so few people do today, I mean, so few people. But if you used to and you trust it as a local medium, the way you might trust a local farmer or a local pharmacist, then you trusted the vocation. You trusted the guild of people who did that. And so you trusted them at the state level and at the federal level as well. In exactly the same way that if you know a local police officer who walks the beat and you trust her, then you're more likely to think well of police officers whom you might see on TV. It's just natural, right? So that's number one. Number two, that was also a time, the Walter Cronkite time, when there were only half a dozen national anchor people, right? One or two for each of three networks. So they were common friends of lots of people. You could go into work and stand around the proverbial water cooler and say to friends, did you see what Cronkite said on TV last night? And they would have seen it. And so it was almost as if they were part of your poker game. They were in the room with you because they were part of our shared experience.
Yeah, it's tougher to get that kind of shared experience do with Ron Burgundy.
Exactly. That's
right.
Exactly right.
Last question here is in your book, Squirrel Hill, you talk about the healing process, which has been remarkable after a tragedy of the scope of 11 people being gunned down. What has been the most important element to the healing that community has been able to bring about?
Oh, I mean, without question, it's their shared institutions. It's the fact that the people who were attacked were members of houses of worship that were embedded in a local community, that were embedded in a neighborhood where the shops and the synagogues and the meat market and the public library and the public schools and everything are all within a square, quarter mile or half mile. And the fact that everyone knows everyone and they bump into each other on the street just creates a web of trust and love that has really helped people back from this kind of trauma.
And what about the idea of creating more of that communal life around the country? Is there any substitute that you have seen that people use effectively for the idea of a religious-based community in a specific neighborhood?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that these communities have to be religiously based, but they have to have a level of commitment. You know, in the old days, you had, you know, brotherhoods and lodges and sisterhoods. The League of Women Voters used to do this work. The local Masons Club, the PTO, all of these organizations used to have much higher levels of membership, and they created bonds of civic trust that people really relied on when times got tough. It really helped buck them up and support them when they were knocked down for whatever reason. And so I guess I would just say to people, and I think these stories are so beautifully told in this book, because I'm really just giving voice to these people in Squirrel Hill. Answer is go out and join. Go out and join organizations, be a member, volunteer your time, be part of that volunteerist spirit that used to be much, much stronger in America.
Yeah, I know that Robert Putnam actually wrote about in Bowling Alone, the former great animal organizations, whether it was Eagles or Lions Club or Kiwanis.
Elks
entirely, yeah. And that apparently has become a greatly declining factor in American life, and partially because people are spending their time with screens rather than with real people.
And also because we live farther from each other. I mean, it's two things. You know, you want to look at the twin evils. One is screen addiction, both to TV and smartphones and whatever. And the other is that we simply spread farther out in search of bigger plots of land and three-car garages. We suburbanize. Much tougher to keep those organizations going when you have a 40-minute drive back into the city if you want to attend a meeting.
Well, if people want to attend a meeting with Mark Oppenheimer or get a signed copy of his book, join him in Seattle on Sunday. The information is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Another kind of community that people used to enjoy with movie theaters. Movie theaters are coming back, and particularly with the big new James Bond movie that is opening today. It's called No Time to Die. We'll also be reviewing a new film with people almost as popular as 007. I'm talking about The Muppets. They have The Muppets Haunted Mansion and another popular figure, Ted Lasso. Well, not actually Ted Lasso, but Jason Sudeikis has a new gritty and scary, is it scary? Well, parts of it are, crime drama called South of Heaven. We will be reviewing all three of those. Coming right up on the Michael Medved Show. Thank you, and Shabbat Shalom to Mark Oppenheimer coming here on Sunday. We will be right back with the films for the weekend here on the Michael Medved Show.
This is the most dangerous creature that ever walked the earth.
Michael Medved.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved Show, wishing everybody a terrific weekend, a time to maybe enjoy a little bit more clear and comforting weather, and some time to reconnect with joy. And yes, there are occasionally movies that can contribute to your joy, or at least your enjoyment, from Hollywood. Okay, one of the eagerly awaited films that is coming out this weekend is streaming on Disney Plus, and it's rated TV-PG, but it really doesn't have anything tremendously scary or off-putting. It's called Muppets Haunted Mansion, and it's actually led not by Piggy and Kermit, though they both make brief appearances. The main characters in this Muppets movie are Gonzo the Great, or the Great Gonzo, and Pepe the King Prawn. And they've decided to try to take on a challenge with a notorious haunted house, which actually looks very much like the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, because it's inspired by it. This is Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Welcome, foolish Muppets, to tonight's very special Halloween challenge.
We just have to survive the night in this haunted mansion?
Everything here will seem familiar, but your eyes may deceive you.
Take five, everybody!
Happy Halloween! This place is really haunted!
Okay, yeah, really haunted. As I said, it's rated TV-PG. So, not really haunted in order to terrify people, though the plot, Well, there is no plot, really. It's just a series of quick jokes. It's very frantic. The film is only an hour. And I think that people who love the Muppets will find things that are enjoyable here, but nothing particularly memorable. The human characters who take part in this include the late Ed Asner and his last performance, and also Taraji P. Henson, who plays a bride-like figure with red, bloody eyes, who for some reason wants to marry Gonzo. But that's another story. It's reasonably enjoyable, and again, there are a lot of quick references that will go right over the heads of most little kids. 2.5 stars, 2.5 stars for the okay Muppets Haunted Mansion. This is not going to be, I don't think, a Halloween classic. Something that will very unlikely become a classic of any sort is the new Jason Sudeikis film. It's called South of Heaven, and he plays a guy in prison for bank robbery for a long time. But he gets out on parole so that he can provide a last year of life, of the dignity and love for his longtime girlfriend, who's played by Evangeline Lilly. South of Heaven. Listen.
You're currently serving a 15-year sentence for armed robbery.
Yes, ma'am. My one true love, Annie. Doctors gave her a year. I'm going to beg you to let me out so I can give Annie the best year of her life.
My courier was carrying $500,000 and he never made it home. But if you ever want to share another dance with your lovely woman, you better come up with my 500 grand.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
You've pushed a desperate man a little too far here.
This ends now.
And it ends just in time. South of Heaven is way south of adequate. It's a terrible movie. I mean, and poor Jason Sudeikis, the whole thing about his Ted Lasso persona is likability. This guy is a jerk, and there's almost nothing likable about him except the sad situation with his sick girlfriend, who, by the way, looks radiant and angelic the entire time, as if she's ready to go upstairs with a harp and wings. No. The violence for a very hard R rating is sickening. Sickening. There is a scene of one of the characters, not Jason Sudeikis, having his throat slit and his head dropping onto a welcome home cake. It's not for anybody. It is one star. It will be one of the worst movies of the year. Not believable or enjoyable for a moment or in any capacity. One star for South of Heaven. And then No Time to Die. That is the new James Bond film, and it's an epic. It is, as I've mentioned before, because this is the one biggest negative about the film, it's very long. It is 2 hours and 43 minutes. No, really, 2 hours and 43 minutes, and it's a different view of Bond, a more serious, more sensitive, less dashing, and funny Bond. Some people would say less fun Bond, but brilliantly and very convincingly made. No Time to Die.
James, fate draws us back together.
Now your enemy is my enemy.
His name is Stefan.
And what does he want?
Revenge.
When her secret finds its way out, it'll be the death of you.
You can imagine why I've come back to play.
When you're ready.
James Bond.
We both eradicate G4 to make the world a better place. I just want to be a little tidier.
Okay, that's Rami Malek, who plays a new supervillain, whose accent shifts from various nationalities and doesn't make much sense. But he's very effective. He does seem to be scary, and they've done some strange things with his skin in the film. Daniel Craig is excellent. He is. This is the best performance of any of his films in Bondage. And but there's very little of the old playful Bond. He says, "Oh, I want to find time to play." There's not a lot of playfulness here. It has a somber tone. The entire plot is based upon his relationship with Léa Seydoux, the psychologist he was in love with last time in Spectre. And she comes back, and then they separate toward the beginning of the film, and then they come back together to try to save the world from some of these evil plots. The plot's preposterous, of course, but it's supposed to be. It's fun to see him having retired from MI6, and then he comes back to work with Naomi Hap, Paris, Moneypenny, and together with Ray Fiennes, who's plays M. The special effects, the chase scenes, are effective, but the film is wearying. And I know that spoke to Jeremy about it. It may be called No Time to Die, but it provides plenty of time to sleep. It is rated PG-13. There is nothing particularly, no mature sexual content. In fact, there's very little sexual content other than love scenes with one woman. And then a brief appearance by the glamorous Ana de Armas, who is playing an agent who has briefly been tagged with Bond. This is supposed to be the last Bond for Daniel Craig. And so people are expecting that, but they set up a new 007, someone who's been given that designation, who is a very formidable woman of color. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back the next film, not as a Bond film, but as an 007 film featuring this very different secret agent. 3 stars for No Time to Die. It's impossible not to be riveted by some of the camera work and the direction and the action scenes, and to be at least a little bit touched by some of the greater depth you see in the character. This is a more mature Bond, which is appropriate for the farewell performance by Daniel Craig. Coming up on Monday, we'll be talking about what is happening with the economy. Now, our unemployment rate is still not that bad, but why did we get all of a sudden this terrible jobs report? We'll be speaking about that with Stephen Moore. And then No Way to Treat a Child, how the foster care system and family courts and racial activists all wreck young lives. We'll be speaking to Naomi Schaefer Riley, who many of you know from the Wall Street Journal. And then there's a North Carolina charter school teacher who was forced to resign because she told black students that they would be her field slaves if not for the Constitution. Okay? And marijuana? Marijuana could actually make COVID breakthrough cases more likely for regular users. Why? That and more coming up Monday in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.